Are you ready?
I'm ready. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Good, good. If y'all would, turn to hymn number 285. Stand up when you get there. Here we go, 285. We're going to swing. Oh. Right. You catch up with us, Chuck?
I don't just want to have more.
No worries. It's Sunday school. I didn't put it on the bulletin. Yeah. Okay. We're ready. Here we go. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Go get them.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Well, hasn't the Lord made a beautiful day today? He really has. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will what? Be glad.
And rejoice.
Amen. Okay. Unspoken. Any unspoken? Okay. And yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, our love, Lord, is we're just so happy that you've given us the ability just to be able to love you. And you did first love us. And we ask that you'll bless the Sunday school hour, that you'll meet the need and bless each one of us and bless Dana's teaching and of the book of Daniel. And Father, we ask now that you'll just bless our time, and those that have an unspoken request, we ask that you'll answer their prayers and their desires, and we'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Good to see you here this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dina.
I want to show you, by the way, for those that don't follow me during the week, we are changing. As of Monday morning, we are going to be studying Ruth. And I hope that's something that everyone will enjoy. Let me get rid of this display here. Okay, I had included the, thought I'd show it to you, but I included the, kind of spent a little time making a slide for it, so I was kind of, wanted to show it, and I was trying to get it ready, and I didn't quite have it ready. I had added it to the slide presentation. Did anyone see it up there? Because I thought I added it to it, and I didn't see it. Let me, kind of as an advertisement, let me show it to you. There it is there. Ruth and the Kinsman Redeemer. So that's going to be starting Monday at 8 o'clock, and looking forward to it. It'll take probably a few weeks to do. It's not a very long book, but, and then on Sunday school, we continue with Daniel. And Daniel, we are in... Starting chapter 9. We're going to be here for a few weeks because the next step is we're going to go into probably the most famous prophecy of the Bible, the prophecy of the 70 weeks. which fits in really well for today, because too bad I didn't hit it for today, because the beginning part of that has to do with the timing of today, and that the people of Jerusalem should have known that the Messiah was going to show up in Jerusalem today. Of course, in between 28 and 32 AD, yeah, that is. So it's I look forward to that study. I spent a lot of time studying that, so hopefully it comes across good. That's really a neat study. But we're going to finish up the prayer this week. And last week we had read the prayer, and we had talked about that slide. And now the people online can see me. So anyone online, welcome. We'll just start reading here. I'm going to read through it again just to refresh our memories on the prayer. And then we're just going to pick out a few things out of the prayer to kind of make a point about. And that's basically what I'm going to do today. We'll just leave that picture up as a remember from last week. In the first year of Darius, the son of Xerxes, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face upon the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. This is a beautiful prayer. It's one that I'm thinking more and more that I try to include a prayer for our sins of our country now as I pray. That God will maybe bless us and forgive us of our sins. Probably a long shot at this point, but we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judea and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, who we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by the servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed the law, even by departing, that might not obey the voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against thee. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judge us, by bringing us out of a great evil, for unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord of our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have gotten thee a renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name, For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do and defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Okay, so that's the prayer. And I'm just going to point to a few verses. Start at verse 11. And point out a few things about what Daniel had asked during his prayer. And in verse 11 here, we see the charges against the Israel. About ye all Israel have transgressed the law, even by departing, that they may not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against thee. Let's take a look at this real quick. And over in Malachi, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. I want to kind of point out that the prophets, he keeps mentioning the prophets, and from like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, and some of the other minor prophets, Hosea, they all were prophesying very similar things about defying the Lord and his commandments. As we mentioned last time, that even Moses, once a year, reminded the people. And I sound a little bit too loud. Am I echoing again? I forgot to turn off the pulpit mic. Is that better? Okay. I think what's happening is the speakers, the mic on the pulpit is picking me up. And echoing it back. Okay, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. We read through that last week, remember, at the end. And so they really didn't have an excuse as to why they transgressed in the first place. And I thought I'd just take a piece over in Exodus 19, 1 through 8. It also mentions this. This is where they received the law. I just wanted to point this out. Also, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. They were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called upon him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you eagle wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Here is the first time that God is really telling the people that that if you obey, all you got to do is obey my commandments. And they're not that hard, really, if you think about it. Most of them weren't that hard to take care of. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou hast spake unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. An interesting thing here is that they acknowledged and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So here we see that the people actually understood what they were being told, and at this point had said that they were going to. Now, jumping ahead to Nehemiah 1:6, I brought this in to see what happened and what Nehemiah has to say about this. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah is doing a very similar thing that Daniel did, and is realizing that as a nation, that they had sinned against the Lord. And also over in Psalms 106, verse 6. Again, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly. So we can see many of the people, and these are, again, the prophets of old that were commenting on all these things. So that's kind of what the charges are. Now let's go to verse 12 of Daniel 9. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. And realize that these prophets were actually reaching out to the Israel for like, basically started about, I think it was, because when the northern kingdom was taken over, that was about 700 B.C. And that God really felt that by showing them what the punishment he gave Israel, or the northern kingdom of Samaria, that the southern kingdom would realize and would change their ways. But here we are about 200 years later from that, and they still haven't realized that the Lord is going to punish them also. And so I think that's the thing that most of these prophets had realized. And so that's why the 70 years, and so that they've been dealing with up till now. And just some other things about talking about some of the prophets spoke of these things. I thought I'd mention a few. Over in Jeremiah 44, 2 through 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, upon all the cities of Judea. And behold, this day they are desolate, and no man dwelleth therein. It's funny, I was just listening to a commentary on this recently that really got my attention. That it seemed like that God, one of the proofs that we know for sure that that's God's land is that when God's people are in the land, it flourishes. And as soon as they leave, it goes desolate. And it's funny how you hear some of the naysayers say that it belongs to the Arabs, or it belongs to this country or that country. But every single time that Israel is not in the land, it becomes a wasteland. And I know that a very famous book was written by Mark Twain. He had visited there, I think in the 1800s sometime, and had made a comment in his book. He wasn't necessarily a Christian, but he had commented that what people would want this place. It's desolate. It's a wasteland, you know. And it's funny that every single time that God brings the people back into the land, it flourishes. They say now that if you fly over Israel, it is greener than green. And as soon as you hit the Jordan River and go into towards the west and the east there of the Jordan River, it turns back into desert. So it's like only that little square area of Israel is flourishing. And it's just a testament to God that when you're in his good graces, or when you're following his rules, boy, that land belongs to them and only them. So anyways, back to Jeremiah. Upon all the cities of Judea, behold, the day that they are desolation, no man dwelleth therein. Because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods. But here's one of the charges, that they were idol worship. They were worshiping other gods, whom they knew not, neither they ye nor are your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But thou hearken not, nor incline thy ear to turn from thy wickedness, to burn no incense of the other gods. Wherefore my fury and my anger were poured forth, and was kindled in the city of Judea, in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as this day. And to follow along with that, in Lamentations, there's also a couple of comments about this. Lamentations 1:12. It is nothing to you, as ye that pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equate equal to thee, that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For the breach is like the sea, which can heal thee. So just a few verses to confirm that, that number one, that Jeremiah was one of the prophets that was very, if you had spent, had listened to my Ezekiel study, we covered this too, because Ezekiel was really big on this. He went into a lot of detail as to exactly Because what happened was is that a lot of the people that were during the first occupation and the second, that were in denial. They were being told by these false prophets that God's going to forgive you. You'll be back in the land, you know, within a year. You know, you'll be back. Things will be taken care of. The Lord God's going to take care of things. And through Ezekiel and Daniel, mostly Ezekiel, that Ezekiel is basically telling them, no, you're going to be here for a while. Set up shop. Build houses. You're going to be here for 70 years. And here Daniel is also recognizing that also. But where we are at this point is the 70 years is over, and Daniel recognizes that. So he's making this prayer of forgiveness so that the Lord will bless them and allow them to go back into the land, is basically what's happening here. Okay, going to Daniel 9:13. And it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil to come upon us, yet made we not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Now there's one other law that they broke, and this is the main one that most people pick when they talk about why God did this and why he chose 70 years. And it's fascinating that there's a law called the law of the Sabbath. You know that 6 days you're supposed to work, and on the seventh day you're supposed to rest. And that was a law God gave the Israelites. And that's a good idea for all of us. I truly believe that we should take a day of rest each week. I just don't think it necessarily has to be on Saturday. But there's also a law of the Sabbath of the land, a very similar law. And I know some farmers actually still go by this law even today. And the idea is you're only supposed to work the land for 6 years and let it rest for 1 year. And then you can reuse it again. And I've actually heard there was a period of time, I remember in history when I was studying it, about Russia. Russia had actually had not done that, and they had it had gotten to the point where they were having a lot of trouble growing enough food. I think this was back in the 50s and 60s. Because they had not let the land rest, they had not properly taken care of the land, and it got to the point where they couldn't produce enough food for their people. And it was determined that was what the problem was. They never let the land rest. So this general rule applies to everybody, really. God had designed it this way, and when you follow the Lord, it works out. So going to verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obey not his voice. So I wanted to mention about this law of the Sabbath of the land. I'm not going to read it because it's pretty lengthy. It's in Leviticus. If you want to jot this down and read it for your own use, it's over in Leviticus 26, 14 through 45 is the law of the land, and also in Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. So those are basically, that's the rule of the law of the Sabbath of the land. But they're basically that one year for every 6 years. So where the 70 years came from is that basically they didn't do this for 490 years. And that's when God finally said, okay, that's enough. You're not listening to me, so I am going to give the land its rest, and I'm going to force you out of the land. And that's where the 70 years came from. So 70 years being the 1 year that that they owed for each seven years of time that they owe God. And that's basically, that's the other reason that this judgment came upon them. So just like a good father, as we accept, the one thing that God was pushing here in verse 14 is accept your punishment, okay? I think that nobody likes to be chastised, but that God is a good father, and it even says, Abba Father, he cares about us, he loves us. And sometimes when we're under punishment, it doesn't always seem that way, but he's doing it for our own good. And that's what God is doing to these people. But I want to point out that he also reward us, too, for good. Once we realize our mistakes and we repent. Remember in Jeremiah 31:28, that's a nice verse on that. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down, to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. So that he will redeem us, and once we learn our lesson, he will love us again. But if they don't repent, and they don't do as he says, which seemed to be a constant thing with Israel, judgment will come again. And jump into Jeremiah 44:27. He mentions this. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judea that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. So this is another prophecy that it's actually talking about a group of people that were they thought they were going to escape Babylon's punishment. And so they went to Egypt to try to get out of it. And that didn't do any good because it was even worse in Egypt. A lot of them got consumed by sword and by famine down in Egypt, so that they didn't escape it. So back to Daniel 9:15. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought the people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city, Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and the people are become a reproach to all that are about us. So a couple of verses on this subject here, talking about Jerusalem, in Psalms 122:6. Verse you hear once in a while, quite a bit, quite often, particularly as a news program that I listen to this out of Israel. It's an English spoken one. And he always says this at the end, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I didn't realize until I saw this verse, it's actually in the Bible, that they shall prosper that love thee. So it's actually a commandment that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Also Jeremiah 29:7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. And over in Zechariah, a good section in Zechariah 8:1-8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. This is talking future, that the Lord is going to return to Jerusalem. And I believe that's going to happen, and we will witness it when we come back with the Lord after the 7-year tribulation. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in thy eyes of the remnant of the people in these days, shall it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. So that day is coming, and it's even a little bit, even right now, that they have been brought back into the land, and that people are living, but they're not exactly in peace and security. As a matter of fact, this week there's been a lot of terrorist activity in, what's that city on the that you fly into? Tel Aviv, been really bad there this past week. There's already been like 5 or 6 deaths. So we definitely should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I guess it's Ramadan right now, so it's, remember last year it was really bad. Okay, finishing up, Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. So that's going to be the next phase. As we go forward, it ain't going to be in Daniel's time, but it's going to get to the point where at least Daniel never leaves Babylon. He never ends up going back. But he's going to, we're going to talk about it in the next couple of chapters, what's going to happen in the latter years of Jerusalem, and that Cyrus, the king of Greece, is actually going to release the people based on this prophecy, based on this prayer. But we're going to be talking about next is a at this point, Gabriel arrives, and I'll just read a couple of verses. So we got done a little bit early, kind of a lead up to what will be next. And so after he finished the prayer, going to verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplications before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And I'll just read through this, because you got to get a feel for it. I didn't study to actually present this today. But I'll just read through it so you know what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. Mainly because it applies to today, and I just thought I'd throw this in here so you can see it and you can kind of think about it. But it's a prophecy that Gabriel gave to Daniel from God. And it's talking about this 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Now therefore understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, Daniel's going to be be helping a lot with that, particularly mainly the temple first, and then Jerusalem second. That actually happens in Nehemiah. We'll talk about this as we get into these verses. The prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troubled times. And this is the part that I think Pastor is going to talk about this morning that is going to be that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to be reflecting on in this morning's service. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That's the crucifixion. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and upon the end of the war desolations are determined. That verse happened during the week prior to his crucifixion. And and the thing that Jesus is going to reflect upon is the fact that they should have known when he was going to be arriving in the city. And so that this particular verse, God is going to blind their eyes because they didn't recognize this verse. And so we'll talk about this verse starting next week, but I thought I'd throw that in there as where we're going. And that the last verse of this one is 9:27, and that one is future. That's talking about a week. That week that is mentioned here in 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And the overspreading of abominations he shall make desolate, even until the consummation. And that determining shall be poured upon the desolate. We'll probably spend a whole week just on that verse. This is future. This is talking about the tribulation. And I'll kind of show in Revelation and a few other places how that's going to proceed. So that's the rest of Daniel 9. I just read it through again. And I'll end there with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study and for this time we get to spend in your word, Lord. I always look forward to learning new things, Lord, and thank you and praise you. I look forward to the worship service to follow, and that we will be given some good instruction, and that your presence will be here with us, and we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all the people said, Amen. and realize that the rest of Daniel will probably take me 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. I'll just let you, I'll warn you right now, because I'm going to really dive into Daniel 9:24 through 27. Fascinating prophecy.